This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, if everyone would, once again, take out the sermon outline that is in your bulletins so you can follow along with today's teaching time. And please, again, follow along in your Bibles because we're covering the important topic of abiding in Christ and friendship with Jesus. It's interesting that some of our praise songs today dealt with both of those topics, friendship with Jesus and abiding in Him. So these are very relevant for the believer because Jesus, yes, He wants us to follow Him. But what we're going to find out today is that there's more to it than just obeying a bunch of rules. And there's more to it than just being a follower or a servant. There's the developing relationship, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6 and 12 through 15. Now, friendship means many things to many people. It's priceless and precious. How many of us have had a really, really, really good friend we could call our best friend, and we felt like we could share anything with that person? We all need somebody like that. We need somebody to call our friends, and having good friends is so basic to our existence that in many cases we assign value to our own lives by how many close personal relationships we have with other people. Friendship is so important to our existence, and I'm going to use a couple of examples from pop culture here, so don't be alarmed. There's a band called A Day to Remember, and they weighed in a few years ago on the issue by selling a t-shirt at their concerts with the caption, "My friends come first, that's the bottom line." Apparently that message was widely assimilated among the crowd of people who follow this band because their YouTube channel has over 500 million visits. People are downloading their stuff and listening to it big time. Another example from pop culture was back in 2011, and you can laugh if you want to, but there was a TV series called My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic. And the whole point of this show, and I had the dubious honor of watching a couple of episodes, was that friendship is vital for being able to wade through any and all of life's problems. If you had good friends, the message was, you can survive anything. Now, does everybody kind of go along with that? I mean, if you've got friends to lean on, you can probably get through just about anything. But friendship is also so basic to our culture that psychologists, of course, have analyzed this phenomenon ad infinitum, and whole books have been written on the subject of the spiritual and emotional well-being of people who have friendships. And it's a regular featured topic of the articles in the magazine Psychology Today, if you ever bother to look at the magazine. And then there's the old classic buddy movies. Some of us in this room are old enough to remember Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis and a whole string of these buddy films. And then in the 1980s, Billy Crystal took up that same mantle and had a whole string of movies where he was a good buddy of somebody. And the friendship issue is that vital to our culture. But I wonder, and we have to ask the question, how many people ever really take the time to ask themselves if they have a relationship with the one who offers to be our very best friend that we will ever, ever have? Solomon prophesied about it in Proverbs when he said, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And that friend would be Jesus. So again, John chapter 15, we're going to start with verses 1 through 8. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out and is a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my witnesses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. What does it mean for Jesus to be? And this is the first question for open response. What does it mean for Jesus to be the vine?
He's what we grow on.
What's that?
He's what we grow on.
He's what we grow on. That's a good answer. He's what we grow on. Now, think about it. The vine is the source of the nourishment to its branches. We have to have the connection. No branch can live unless it is connected to the vine or the source. We have to be and stay connected to the vine. There's only a certain number of ways we can do that, but He is our source. He is our supply. He wants to be everything to us and to continue to feed us so we can continue to grow. Does everybody know from agriculture what happens to a plant, a vine, or a tree if it stops growing?
It dies.
So that's the essential need for us to stay connected to the vine. Because if you lose the connection and you stop growing,
you die.
We die. There's another element here that Jesus talks about. What happens to those branches that don't grow?
They
get thrown away. Right. They get thrown away, and not only that, Jesus adds a little more vivid detail to this. What happens to them after being thrown away?
They get
what?
Burned.
They get burned. They get thrown into the fire. That's not very pleasant, is it?
Nope.
Now, by the way, got to ask the question, what is pruning?
You cut away the withered part.
Okay. We get that, the cut away the withered parts, the parts that don't seem to be growing much, and it's taken away the unproductive branches, as it were. The whole branch, though, isn't destroyed, is it?
No.
Just the parts that are kind of withering and not producing much fruit. That means for us, what does that mean for us?
Going to get rid of our old ways.
So He's going to try to cut away the old ways. He's going to try to cut away the parts of us that are unfruitful. He's going to try to cut away the parts of us that are not growing and showing fruit. Now, if you look in your outlines, let's take a look at this one paragraph. We have focused so much on the painfulness of the pruning process. Painfulness of the pruning process. I like that alliteration there. And focused on the parts about the unfruitfulness of the branch being thrown into the fire, that we've forgotten that the purpose is so that we will shed the unfruitful ways in our lives and become fruit-bearing. We focus a lot on, the Lord must be pruning me today. And we forget about the fact that once He does that successfully, and we're a cooperative plant or branch, we're going to grow and we're going to be fruitful. So Jesus' purpose for the pruning process is for us to grow and be fruitful. So what does Jesus mean here by saying, and He moves on next, what does He mean by saying that we're clean because of the word He's spoken to us?
We believed it.
Well, of course He believes it.
But we believe it also.
Okay. And so what does that word do for us? We grow. And what else? He mentioned the word, He specifically used the word clean.
Our sins are washed away.
Our sins are washed away. What else?
He purifies us.
Good. That means to carry the next step. The more of his word we have in us, the more powerful and the more fruitful we will become. Then Jesus says in verse 4, to abide in him. What does to abide in him mean? What does it mean to abide in him? What's that?
Obey him.
That's one. There's a lot of parts to this, so there are many answers you can give. Obey, one. That's one. Anybody else?
Hold on to him.
Hold on. Okay. Keep going.
Believe.
What's that?
Believe.
Okay. We believe in him, of course.
Lean on him as the source.
What's that?
Lean on him as the source.
Lean on him as the source. Now we're getting really somewhere. Okay. Reason ought to be simple. Ought to be. That's the key phrase there. It ought to be. We're all familiar enough with gardening and plants to know that a shoot or a cutting is used to grow whole new plants, right? You take a shoot off one and you plant it, and what does it do? It becomes its own plant. In the rest of verse 4, Jesus comes right out and tells us that the purpose of abiding in with him is so that we can be fruitful believers. Makes sense, right? The more you abide in him. So that means that we need to be producing those shoots. That means new plants. What that ultimately means is that we should be, as disciples of Jesus, reproducing, making new disciples. What was Jesus' only imperative statement? If you were able to go back and read the Greek in that Great Commission, the famous verse or passage in Matthew 28, 18 to 19, what's the only imperative command that Jesus actually states in that verse according to the Greek text, not the way it's rendered in English? And I've preached on this so many times because it's one of my favorite passages, and so I'm partial to it. But what does it mean? What is his only imperative command?
Make disciples.
That's it. Stop right there. Stop right there. Make disciples. Because Jesus' actual words, as recorded in the Greek, were, as you are going. So Jesus' assumption was that we would be going, that we would be following, that we would be actively being disciples. But his imperative was make disciples. That means we need to be making more of those shoots that can be pruned and planted and grow new life and bear fruit themselves. Then it means to be abiding with him. If we're abiding, it means walking with him, having fellowship with him, getting to know him more and growing in faith that will produce those new cuttings or those new shoots. Then the Lord more or less talks about this some more in verses 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So how much fruit are we going to produce if we abide? And that's in verse 8.
Much.
The more we abide, the more fruit we have. The more we abide, the more productive our lives are. So he says, much fruit. And if I put it in verse 5 in that, it's in there too, verse 5. He who abides in me bears much fruit. And again, it's in verse 8. Now, there is a connection here between verses 7 and 8. Look at those verses carefully and see what Jesus is saying there. There is a connection in these two verses that I want everyone to be able to get today.
It's the difference
abide in him and if you don't abide in him.
Okay, that's part of it. What else? There's a major connection here in verses 7 and 8 that we really need to look at and notice and take note of. And it, in verse 7 again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There's a major connection between two elements of our walk with him in this verse.
Abide in Jesus, glorify the Father.
Okay, that may be true, but that's not quite what I'm looking for.
Because when you're bearing fruit, you're being a disciple.
Okay.
For that is God's purpose for you.
Okay, that's true too. Okay.
Faith.
Faith? Okay, now we're getting somewhere. What do you see in these two verses together?
You have to believe.
Okay, keep going, Judy. You're on the right track.
Well, you have to have faith. You have to believe that what you ask for, God will grant it if it's in His will.
Okay, keep going. You're on a roll now. Don't stop. And then let's see what it says in verse 8, that we will bear much fruit. So put the two things together that Judy said. And now it gets quiet again. In verse 6, Jesus talks about more unfruitful branches being cast in the fire. But then in verse 7, he says about being fruitful in prayer. Whatever you ask, what you desire, it shall be done for you. And then in verse 8, it says, you'll be my disciples. My Father's glorified that you bear much fruit. Let's look at your outline here. He ties being powerful people of prayer to being fruitful. Now, does everybody see that? This is a challenge for us to develop our prayer lives. We've talked about this before countless times, but we can't neglect our prayer lives. Don't neglect your prayer life. That's not in your outline, but it's an addition from me. If you feel like your prayer life isn't fruitful, start over. Start small. Praise Him for His greatness. Praise Him for being Him. Then simply thank the Lord for each new day. Thank Him for giving you breath. Thank Him for meeting your needs for a place to live, some money to buy the things you really need, and for providing you a car to drive. Thank Him for that stuff, those things. Be thankful. Cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. And then you thank Him for the family and the friends you have. Then praise Him some more. And I just realized now that I didn't leave anything blank in there, so there's nothing for you to fill in. But start getting bigger from that point on. Ask Him for things. Ask Him to increase your faith. Ask Him for boldness to tell others about Him. Ask Him for the boldness to speak the truth of His Word into our culture. Lord knows we need people to speak the truth of God's Word into our corrupt, eroding, crumbling culture. Right? Everybody agree with that? Say amen if you do.
Amen.
The truth of God needs to be spoken into this culture to try to turn around the cultural rot that we all see around us on a daily basis. Watch for the opening that He will give you. If you really are on fire for the Lord, it will be your desire to share His gospel truth with somebody. And in the Great Commission version that Mark records, he says, go and preach the gospel to all creation or to every creature. So, there's a dog park right there. Go preach the gospel to the owners and then preach the gospel to the dogs. He says every creature, if you want to be literal. But you got to be looking for the opportunities to share the gospel. That's being fruitful. So gradually, you'll find your prayer life deepening and you'll find your own life becoming more fruitful. So we started out today talking about friendship. You may be wondering when we're finally going to get to the topic, and that's right now. It's verses 12 through 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. All things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Believe it or not, these two sections are actually connected. Jesus wants to call us his friends. There is one sure way for us to become friends of Jesus, and we've spent most of our teaching time today talking about the way to become a friend of Jesus. Who knows what that connection is? Abiding in him. Amen. That's good. If we learn to abide in him, we will be his friend. How do we know this? It's because he says in verse 14 that we're his friends if we do what he commands. And we can't learn to live his way and follow his directions and commands if we don't first learn to abide in him. Have you ever had such a close friend that you could almost finish their sentences before they did? That's abiding. You're walking with that person in such close relationship that you can actually start to know their thoughts. You can see the wheels turning and you know what's going on in their head. Have you ever been so close to someone that they could actually tell you what they're thinking honestly? That they could share their thoughts with you? Or have you ever been so close to someone that they could actually almost know what you are thinking? That's being close to someone. And folks, the closer we get to Jesus and the more we learn to abide in him, the more we will know his thoughts and be like Paul says and have the mind of Christ. Remember he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, somewhere around in there, for we have the mind of Christ. This is what we're talking about and what Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah chapter 6. And we talk about that passage all the time too. But remember, he's talking there and he's hearing the very throne room of God talking about whom shall we send? Who will go for us? The text makes it clear that the throne room, the Lord was not talking to Isaiah. But Isaiah was so tuned in to what was going on at the throne room of God that he could actually hear what was going on there. That's abiding. When you're so close to the Lord, you can have the mind of Christ and just kind of almost begin to know, Lord, I know you want me to do this. That's abiding. That's friendship. We will abide in that vine. We will be fruitful and we'll start to be like Jesus. As time moves along, we will find that we are connected to him and that we are indeed his friend. Jesus actually tells us the biggest distinction here. At first, when we follow him early on, we're his servants. And that's good, because we should be slaves of Christ, as we've talked about many times, in the pure meaning of what that means. But I think that as we grow in grace and we continue to abide and get closer to him, we'll have Jesus give us that same distinction he gives to his disciples in this upper room statement. I no longer call you servants, but friends. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He talks to us. We talk to him. We communicate. There's communication between us and the throne room of grace. There's communication between us and our Lord. And we talk to him. He communicates his life-giving knowledge to us. We're given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're given that word of knowledge, where we can start getting that divine insight that only he can give. And the closer we get, we start cultivating more of those spiritual gifts. And we start just kind of having the mind of Christ. We can actually start thinking like a real disciple of Jesus and start having thoughts that reflect what he wants them to reflect. Holy and pure and righteous and completely in line with his kingdom. And then we begin to be life-giving reflections of his greatness to the world. That's what we should become. And that's the result of abiding in Jesus. We become his friends, and we become the brilliant, beautiful reflections of his grace to the world around us. So to wrap up for today, Jesus is that sustaining vine. How do we continue to grow? We stay connected. We continue to bear fruit. And from him we gain our strength to live. From him we gain our life-giving food. Then we abide. We learn to be fruitful. And abiding here means that we read his word, we serve him, we put our faith in him, we walk with him, and we know what he wants us to know. And to do that, we learn how to get into his word. We come to the altar and receive the sacraments. And we don't just do it as a habit. We do it knowing that we're going to communicate with him as we receive his body and blood. That's further communion with our Lord, and that's continuing to build that friendship with Jesus. And we become fruitful in prayer. We become powerful men and women of prayer. And that's something we should really aspire to. And then there's more fruit. And as we continue that cycle, we get closer to the Lord, we're his reflection even more powerfully, and we have more fruit. And we win disciples. We have those shoots that we can bear and plant and make new disciples that will also bear fruit. And then we find we have the most beautiful friendship that we ever thought we could have. Friendship with the Lord of glory. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.